This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 5:07 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. So first up on our show, there has been a lot of focus lately on Muslim women who can't fast eating in public. And in many ways, it was triggered by something that went viral on TikTok. Basically, a Burger King employee posted CCTV footage of three Muslim women dining in with a caption basically saying to the three women wearing hijabs ordering this amount of food, dining in, don't you feel bad for the customers who are still fasting? And that has really kind of prompted this larger conversation. For what it's worth, Burger King did release a statement confirming that it was made by their employee. They say they don't condone this type of behavior and they respect and value customers' privacy.
So this has actually opened up, as you said, a conversation with other women sharing their own personal experiences of being told that they cannot order food or they cannot dine in, more specifically, despite being, I suppose, you know, there are various reasons why a woman can't fast. For instance, if she's menstruating or if she's pregnant. So this has opened up a conversation, I think, really on policing and shaming people for something that they are doing for a particular reason. For what it's worth, Malaysia is one of the countries that criminalizes the act of eating in public during Ramadan. So under Section 15 of the Sharia Criminal Offences Act of 1997.
Federal Territories Act,
yes. Anyone who sells to a Muslim person food, drinks, cigarettes or other forms of tobacco for consumption during fasting hours or eating, drinking, smoking in public during fasting hours during the month of Ramadan all come with penalties. But that said, again, I think where this gets a little bit murky is when it's not a requirement because of various health reasons and or physical reasons and so on.
Yes, and also with the fact that the law differs from state to state. So this is what we're going to get into and we'd like to hear from you. What do you make of this? Again, our first story is going to be on basically Muslim women who cannot fast getting called out for eating in public. You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Beyond Frivolous Matters, BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:10 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. And we're talking today about the focus and the conversation that's been going on about Muslim women who cannot fast eating in public or dining in. We'd like to hear from you. Keep those thoughts coming. And in the meantime, speaking with us about this is Altaf Deviati, Director of Operations at Iman Research. Altaf, thanks for joining us today. So there have actually been on the subject a number of Muslim women taking to social media to highlight how eateries have refused to allow them to dine in despite menstruating or being pregnant, with comments kind of supporting both sides of the issue. What are some of the opinions you've been hearing on this?
I've actually been hearing this for quite some time already. I think the only difference this year is there's been a lot of sharing happening, particularly online, of women's experiences when it comes to being told not to eat during the Ramadan month. But in actual fact, I mean, even during my college days, it was already happening that you would be turned away. I mean, I remembered myself that one of the days that I couldn't fast, I was turned away from buying food because it wasn't the correct time to buy food. And friends of mine that looked Malay but weren't had to show their ID as proof that they weren't Muslim. So it's not something new, actually. And I think this has been happening for quite some time. And I guess it's also a reflective of how we are policing religiosity in the country. That is happening from every section, I think, from the society, but also to authorities. But I think it's made worse when authorities actually put in place policies to police, which gives the wrong or misunderstanding to the public, one, and to people who are just worried that they might get penalized for selling. They all start panicking and maybe take it even more to the extreme.
So one of the more publicized incidents was of a restaurant employee posting CCTV footage of three Muslim women eating at the restaurant, criticizing them for doing that. The restaurant, of course, has since apologized. Could you help us unpack why this sort of behavior is problematic?
Well, one thing I think is also the role of social media. I think we've all become a little bit very much narcissistic for everything. So this just is one other aspect that has taken policing of one's religiosity to a whole new level. Before social media, there would probably still be telling or going off to those ladies and telling them not to eat or asking them to leave the restaurant. But now I think with social media, it's taken it to a different level. Again, this whole incident of policing people who are not able to fast, or even it's their own right, really, during Ramadan is not something new. It has been becoming more prevalent year by year. And this doesn't help when religious authorities come up with statements before Ramadan in reminding people of that we have a law that prevents it, scaring businesses, and then also encouraging people to police on each other. Oh, that's a side effect of it. You end up encouraging people to police each other. And people think that they're doing good. I have a feeling that that person in that restaurant thought that she was doing something good, that she's just highlighting or trying to so-called inform her social media followers of people not to do this. I'm trying to think on the good side, not realizing that when you do that, it's having a wider implication. We have forgotten in this pursuit of policing everyone that there is a significant population that cannot fast. There is, within the religious doctrine, there are very clear groups that are not able to fast, should not fast, and in some it's prohibited to fast. But nobody stops to think of that. You're just going straight on and judging a person. And also, this is also convoluted with the need to so-called respect the month. Respecting the month is not by policing people. It's by increasing one's own personal deeds. And this is kind of lost in this pursuit of policing in the name of religion. Yeah.
So we touched on the law a little bit earlier. You've mentioned it slightly there as well. To your knowledge, how do these issues kind of tie into what the faith dictates?
I think one thing that is a bit more particular to Malaysia maybe is that we have given our authorities in the state a lot of power to dictate how we practice our faith. Majority of that is good because you're supposed to provide guidance. However, it's also gone to the level where I think the line between guidance and controlling and policing is very blurred. And while to think of it from a positive sense, I do believe that a lot of these policies came from a place of wanting to do good and wanting to make sure Muslims can practice the faith in a safe and holistic manner. But it's come to a level where it can also be quite punishing, and it because it controls too much and takes away a lot of agency from the person that's practicing the faith itself. Ramadan, for instance, is really a month between you and God. It is the month where you want to increase your deeds. It's where you feel a more stronger spiritual connection towards your faith and towards your maker compared to the other months of the year. So it's actually quite personal. Yet the way that the things like controlling how you practice it, monitoring on the most benign part, then takes that away. And in the end, you're also taking away the rights of the person. It violates all kinds of things as well. So for instance, pregnant women are too scared to eat when they shouldn't be fasting. I mean, they should be having their lunches. I mean, having to sneak out into the bathroom to eat. Actually, that even is not allowed. I mean, you're not allowed to eat in your bathroom. But instead, because you're trying to avoid, because you've been able, because that right that is given to you has been taken away. Yes, people can say that they should be allowed. But when you have so many policies or laws, how do people navigate that? It's very confusing as a person trying to be wary of the laws at the same time you're practicing your rights. So I think this is something that I think authorities and the public should be discussing on, and a lot more engagement and a lot more openness. Sometimes you just need to trust. And I think that's also very missing. It's as though we don't trust each other to practice our own faith. And we've given the authority to manage us to the state. to the religious bodies, because we don't trust each other that we are performing our fasting or our prayers, beats the whole purpose of faith in itself.
So you touched on this earlier, and people have brought up the notion of respecting the fasting month, specifically that even if you're unable to fast, you shouldn't eat in public as a matter of respect. Could you expand on that? What are your thoughts on this?
Respect is something that is earned. It cannot be imposed or forced. Yes, it would be nice if people can respect each other. And I think generally Malaysians do. Most of them, even in my workplace, people are very careful. Non-Muslims are careful not to eat in front of their Muslim colleagues out of respect, not because they've been told. So this whole discourse that is happening where people are denying other people rights to eat in public or trying to implement rules not to, it then beats the purpose. And my concern is you'll actually anger people more than actually making people understand. And it's also, in a way, again, lacking trust. You're treating people as though they don't have common sense, one, or that they're like children that constantly needs to be, naughty children that needs to be reprimanded. And that is condescending and patronizing. But I guess this is the problem where we're a multi-racial, multi-religious society, yet maybe our engagement with each other is still very lacking. And the way we manage each other's relationship is always through rules and regulations or what you can or cannot do, that in the end, this comes up. I mean, it's really bizarre that we're still talking about respecting the fasting month today. We've been living together for even before independence. So it's not something that no one knows, but yet it brings up. So to me, I'm worried that it's an underlying thing of something else. It's just that we're just wanting to impose this so-called respect in between ethnicity, is a religious persona for as a cover for something else. And that would be a bit worrying, though.
There have also been some arguments on the difference between cultural values and actual prohibitions in religion. How has this influenced the way we behave as a society, especially on issues like these?
I think the fasting, the banning of eating for Muslims during Ramadan time is a good example that we've taken something that is actually on the onus on the individual one and given that power to the state. Because it's, as I've mentioned just now, there are groups that can or cannot fast, one. And it's something that should be monitored at the individual level or at the, not in the community, at the individual level. But we've taken it and given it a legal part by making it an offense. Another part is eating in public during Ramadan. That is, there's no law that prohibits it in actual fact when it comes to doctrine. That is just cultural. And really, I think common sense and understanding can prevail if it's just given a chance.
So it's been pointed out that this sort of public shaming is most often directed at Muslim women. Now, why do you think this happens? What's the wider impact of this?
The targeting of Muslim women has always been an easy target, not just on this, from whether to wear a hijab or not hijab. I think the fact that the woman's body is such a political way of control, and it is also intertwined with other aspects such as misogyny, sexism, not just within Muslim community, but in others as well. There's always a need to control women. You control women, you control the society, or you control women, you control the children or the family or something, or in one aspect. So this is basically an extension of that. Women are always the one to be the target when you're trying to control a social or political aspect. So I see this as no different. This is also interesting because when you look at it, the other demographics that cannot pass are actually people who are unhealthy, elderly, who are too weak, workers who work really heavy duty work that cannot pass because it endangers their body. Yet it's the woman that gets targeted when they're not fasting, regardless of whether they're pregnant, which is something that is so blatant, or whether they're having their monthly menses, which is still today considered a taboo to be said in public. So To me, it is an extension of misogyny, of women not knowing their place, or should be hiding the fact that shouldn't be telling the world that you're having your period, for instance. So this is the same, except that it's extended to the Ramadan month and fasting.
Ultimately, right, I think conversations on this can be hard to navigate, especially when, you know, people might not necessarily agree with someone else's perspective. How can we discuss this in a way that acknowledges faith and practices, but also doesn't shame people?
From what I've noticed, unfortunately, most of the discussion I'm seeing is actually on social media. And it's really difficult to, even for any other topics, I mean, and something as personal as the practicing of faith. It's always very difficult to manage on something that is so open, that where the people are all can hide under pseudonyms or anonymous. So letting it to just live and expand on social media, to me, is also a bit of a danger. We need to take it out. I mean, it will continue with social media. You can't have control of that. It's the freedom of that. But you need to take it also offline. You need to have better engagement, better platforms out. From the looks of it, there is no platform outside. And particularly when you talk about faith and religion, where the cultural aspect is always you listening to an authoritative person. You're always listening to an imam or ustaz or ustaza or a scholar instead of the lack of where you feel that you can share your opinion. This platform is sort of lacking, and I think this should be encouraged. Can it be encouraged online? I think so, if you have the ability to manage an online discourse. I've seen it happen on a number of apps that are online, but I think this needs to be encouraged more. We're not talking enough about it as well. Like I said, we're listening more than we are talking about it. We're not discussing it. There's no dialogue. Unfortunately, when it comes to faith in particular, I mean, I can only speak for Malaysia in particular, is that it's mostly a top-down approach. And I also think a lot of people feel they're not confident enough to discuss about it. Since you're not a scholar, you can't really share your opinion, for instance. The democratization of religious discourse is lacking in Malaysia. In particular, and I can only speak on my faith, is on Islam and Muslims. And I think this is what is needed.
Altaf, thank you so much for speaking with us. That was Altaf Deviati, Director of Operations at Iman Research, basically commenting on the issue that has been going viral, getting a lot of conversation, essentially of Muslim women who, for their own reasons, cannot fast, eating in public and getting shamed and called out for that. And I think there were a lot of very interesting points brought up in that conversation. We'd like to hear from you. What do you make of the situation? Share your thoughts. We're already getting really, really thoughtful perspectives coming in. So you can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be back for your messages and thoughts. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.